السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، إنك أنت السميع العليم. اللهم تقبل منا، إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا، إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا معشر الأحبة، O gathering of dear brothers and sisters, I welcome you to tonight's lecture, which is going to be regarding الصبر, a short talk on the topic of patience. We begin by saying the definition of الصبر in Arabic, in summary, is حبس النفس. Is that a person that they hold themselves and they control themselves and that they are patient. And patience in English, they define it in the definition of Cambridge. They say that it is the ability to wait or to continue doing something despite facing difficulties or to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. These niqat, these points that they mention, is the best explanation that I could mention for a sabr, patience. Is that a person is able to wait. He is also able to continue doing something despite difficulties or face some calamity and suffering without complaining or becoming annoyed. That is a sabr. And that is tonight's topic, بإذن الله تعالى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many places in the Quran, He mentions the virtue of being patient and the virtue of those people that are patient and their reward. And there are many verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this point. And we don't have the time to go through every single verse, but we will mention a few. And so we begin by mentioning the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where He says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله Oh you who believe, Oh you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة Seek aid with two things. Seek aid with patience and seek aid with salah. Seek aid with patience and seek aid with the salah, the prayer. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qarana baynahuma, qarana bayna al-sabri wa salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined between these two affairs, seeking aid with patience and seeking aid with the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed the verse or the surah, surah al-asr, that every single one of us memorizes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by time. Wal-asr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by whatever He wishes from His creation. Due to something important that He's going to mention. Wal-asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Indeed, all of mankind is in destruction. Is in loss. Illa al-ladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Except for those that have the following four characteristics. Those, except for those that believe and those that work righteous deeds and those that advise and counsel one another with the truth and those that advise and counsel one another with patience. And so from the sifat and the characteristics of those people that are saved from this destruction and this lust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, that all of mankind is in, except for those that have these four sifat, from them is the one that advises and counsels, and they counsel one another with patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in another verse, Isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu. Be patient and be perseverant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions being patient and something that is even greater than it, which is to be perseverant in that patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, those that are patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them their reward without any hisab, without any reckoning, without any reckoning. And what better reward than that? That on the day of judgment, that you get your reward in full, those that are patient, without any reckoning, without any hisab. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from amongst them. As-sabr, ayyuha al-ikhwa wal-akhawat, my dear brothers and sisters, goes into three categories. The scholars, they mentioned that sabr and being patient, it occurs in three different things, in three different categories. We'll mention them in short, quickly, and then we'll mention what we can one by one. And so the first of the three is as-sabr 'ala at-ta'a, that a person has patience with performing righteous deeds, with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first. The second is as-sabr 'ani al-ma'siyah, that a person has patience in staying away from disobedience, in staying away from that which is haram. For indeed, both of them requires patience. Thirdly, as-sabr 'ala aqdarillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person is patient upon the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you from calamity, from trials, that you are patient upon that. And these are the nitaq al-thalath. These are the three things, the three categories that a person, a Muslim, has to have patience in. And so we mention again, number one, الصبر على طاعة الله, that a person has patience in performing righteous deeds, in being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so from that is, for example, waking up for Salatul Fajr on a long winter night, and you are cozy in your warm bed. Requires patience or doesn't require patience? Requires patience. Giving sadaqah when the ratib, when the salary has just come. How is the 25th or is the 28th or whenever someone gets paid. The money just came. That a person says, khalas, I'm going to give some of this money to sadaqah. It requires patience. Having good mannerisms to someone who is rude, disrespectful, and bad-mannered with you, that you return his su'ul akhlaq, his bad mannerisms, you return it with good mannerisms. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that in the Quran, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, شَافِرْ وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. And none will be able to reach this level where someone, he gives to you or he shows you bad mannerisms or bad mu'amala, and that you reply with it with good mannerisms. No one's able to do that except for those people that have what? Patience. And so as-sabr 'ala ta'atillah requires from you patience and being consistent in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 'ala siratihi al-mustaqim, upon the straight path, not wavering to the right, not wavering to the left, not leaving your daily routine of praying 5 daily prayers. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the Quran from the dua, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءِ. Oh Allah, make me from amongst those that establish the prayer. Establishing of the prayer requires from you patience. Day in, day out, 5 daily prayers. Praying in the masjid for the men requires patience. Some days it's easy. Some days your nafs wants to just stay at home. someday your nafs calls you to not go out, to not perform this righteous deed. Sometimes you get waswas from shaitan. Look, you're in school. All of the people are looking at you. Look, you're at work. You don't want to look weird. You don't want to stand out. Pray when you go home. At the end of the day, just pray Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, all of it together. This is batil. This is from shaitan. And so a person requires patience in all of those things that come under this. At-ta'a. It requires patience. The second category, الصبر عن المعاصي, being patient in staying away from sins. Patience in staying away from those things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, from those things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, requires patience. Some examples. Staying away from zina, from illegal sexual intercourse with someone that is haram for you, is something that a person requires to have patience in staying away from, especially when you are in a place, in a society where everything around you is calling to it. Everything around you is telling you it's okay, it's normal, it's permissible, there's nothing wrong with it. You require patience. You require patience in staying away from that. You require patience in staying away from drugs, from credit card fraud, from all of those means that they say it's easy cash, it's easy money, it's a quick way to get rich. All of this requires a person to have patience in staying away from. For indeed, a person who falls into these things, he will find that it will be detrimental to his life. It will be the cause of his misery. He thinks it's going to be the cause of his happiness because he has money. And they say, money buys happiness. مَا أَقْبَحَ الْقَوْلِ إِذَا كَانَ حَرَامًا. How despicable is this statement when that money is haram? That money will bring about your misery. It will be the cause of your destruction. إِلَّا أَن يَتَغَمَّدَكَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He encompasses you and He corrects you and He helps you to tawbah, to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you die. All of these things, staying away from it, requires patience. Not being affected by peer pressure. When everyone in the school, or everyone in college, or everyone in uni is doing, listening to music, everyone in the class but you, everyone in your class in university is going to the party, drinking alcohol except for you, everyone is missing their prayers except for you, everyone is watching movies and listening to haram, and it's become normal except for you. It requires patience not to slip, not to be caused to follow the crowd. All of that requires patience, ayyuhal ikhwati wal akhwat. A side benefit, the scholars, they discuss when they're talking about this affair of doing righteous deeds and staying away from prohibited and haram deeds, they mention which one is better in reward. Which one is better in reward? Performing righteous deeds or staying away from haram? And so some scholars, they said, it is better to perform righteous deeds because you have to go out of your way. You have to get up and actually go and perform that righteous deed. Whereas staying away from sin, you don't have to do anything. You just have to not do anything. So they say it's more reward from this bab. You have to go out of your way. You have to get up. You have to give, you have to perform. And so they say from this angle, performing righteous deeds is better. And some other scholars, they said, no, staying away from haram, staying away from sins is better, is more in reward. Because They said everyone is able to perform righteous deeds. The salih and the talih, everyone is able to perform righteous deeds. But no one is able to stay away from sins and stay away from haram except for the one who is sincere. Except for the one who is sincere. And so from this angle, the person who is sincere and he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him and he chooses not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when his whims and his desires and his friends and everything around him is calling to him to do that thing, then he is better in reward. And this is just a side benefit that some of the scholars, they discuss. And perhaps it all comes down to which situation you're in at that moment. Before moving on to the last point, the intent of staying away from falling into haram is that there's two things I want to mention. First of all, it is not the maqsood is not that no one is gonna, there isn't anyone upon earth today or before that is free from all sin. We're not talking about Anbiya or Rusul, we're talking about us, Ummat al-Muhammadiyya. There is no one from amongst us, from the children of Adam till today, except that they perform, that they fall into a sin. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءُ أَوْ خَطَّاءُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ That all of the children of Bani Adam, they fall into sin and they sin. And the best of those that fall into sin and that make mistakes, it are those that perform Tawbah. And so the first thing is, no one is perfect and no one is going to be completely free from sin, 100%. But the maqsood is that a person is not consistent upon it. He's not musir ala al-saghirati aw al-kabira. If shaitan gets him at a time of ghafla, heedlessness or anger or desires and he falls into sin, then perhaps this is the first time he performed a sin in a year or two or three or months. Al-muhim is that it's not plentiful. Al-muhim is that he is not consistent upon it. And that takes me to my second point, which is the most important thing, is that the person rushes to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a Muslim slips, he rushes to perform tawbah, to make istighfar, to seek forgiveness from Allah, that he cries in front of Allah, that he breaks down in front of him, that he begs him for his mercy, that he wakes up in the last third of the night. يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Oh, my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Do not despair, do not give up upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives all sins. So the point is, no one is free from sin. The point that we're talking about leaving of sin is that a person tries his best to not fall into it and that he's not consistent upon any sin. So a person, for example, he fell into one sin. That's not the same as someone who listens to music day in, day out. A person falls into one sin in a month. It's not the same as someone who lives off cash that is haram, who lives off drugs, who lives off drinking alcohol. It's not the same. It's not the same that a person that is consistent upon it and a person that fell on it once a blue moon, as they say. It happens a blue moon. And when it happens, they return and they rush to making tawbah. The poet, the Nadhim, he says, إذا خلوت بريبة والنفس تدعوك إلى الطغيان فاستحي من نظر الإله وقل لها إن الذي خلق الظلام يراني. If you become isolated and covered in the darkness of the night or your room, somewhere where no one can see you. And your nafs, it calls you to ad-dughyan, to transgress, to perform sin, to follow your desires. You're in isolation. No one can see you and you're in darkness. No one is there to watch you. فَاسْتَحْيِ مِن نَظَرِ الْإِلَهِ. Then be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sees you. فَاسْتَحْيِ مِن نَظَرِ الْإِلَهِ وَقُلْ لَهَا. And say to your own soul, إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِي. Indeed, the one that created the darkness, discovering, he can see you, he can see me. So you speak to your own soul in this position when it calls you to dughyan, and you tell it, إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِي. Indeed, the one that created this darkness, he can see me. فَالْمَقْصُودِ is that a person has to have patience in staying away from haram. Staying away from haram and have patience in performing righteous deeds. Lastly, the third category, which is as-sabru ala aqdarillah, that a person is patient upon the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those things that have been decreed for you from calamity and from trials. This is something that you don't have a choice in. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he tests you with a calamity, how do you respond? That which is obligatory upon me, upon you, upon every single Muslim, is to have sabr, to be patient, to have the ability to bear the suffering without complaining, without being annoyed with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this level of being patient in these calamities and trials is wajib, it's obligatory. And so a person doesn't say when he's tried with a calamity, their child dies, or one of their other family members passes away, or they're hit by a car in the street, or they lose an arm or a leg, or the likes of these things from calamities. A person doesn't say, why did it happen to me? Why did this occur to me? If there was really a God, why would he create this? Why would there be evil? Why would there be earthquakes? And the likes of these statements that you hear, that they teach in schools, that they spread through social media and the media channels. And this is from jahl. And this is from ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described as being hakim, as being the all-wise, and also being the most just. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he decreed this calamity for you, ya ayyuhal muslim, is not so that he can destroy you. It's not so that he can punish you, that you are destroyed to the extent that you feel like you are destroyed. La wallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tested you and he afflicted you with this calamity to test your patience, to test your servitude and ubudiyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you sincere or are you not sincere? Are you going to be patient or you're not going to be patient? Are you going to be from those people that are annoyed with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? That's number one. Number two, there are many hikam, many wisdoms from this calamity taking place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want this occurrence that looks evil in our eyes because he wants evil. No. But because of the fruits and the thamarat and the side effects that come from that calamity. I'll explain. A person who's always in ease, who's always living the best life, no trials, no nothing. Even that is a test, but I'm trying to get to a point. Might become ghafil, heedless, from making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from beseeching, from breaking down, from being humble, humiliated in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He might be in too much ease and so good that he forgets about the worship of Allah. He feels he's almost able to do anything, that he's not in need of Allah, and the likes of these things that come to the nafs when a person finds everything that he needs and he doesn't go through any struggle. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down a calamity, what do we see from the slaves? What do we see from the believers? That the believer, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah from any sins that he performed. Is that good for him or not good for him? It's good for him. Perhaps he will die a day after this, and because of this calamity, he made tawbah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his tawbah and he doesn't get punished for the sins that he used to do. In your eyes, you think it was evil. But in reality, what came out from it, was it evil or was it good? It was good. طيب, that's hala. Making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being in a state of humbleness and a complete breaking down in front of Allah, that he makes a dua that is so sincere, that he has yani nothing else in his heart except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas other times, perhaps he is looking at so-and-so, what does so-and-so think when I'm making dua? Ha, riya, showing off, wanting people to hear you. But when you're in this position and you're humbled, and you're in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, your salah will be sincere. Wallahi, your dua will be a dua that is so sincere. Subhanallah, you will even be amazed. These are some of the fruits of calamity. It's not to destroy you, but it's to make you better. It's for you to return. It's for your betterness. So that are some of the hikam and some of the wisdoms behind calamity. Tayyib, what are some of the benefits? There are two benefits from every calamity for a Muslim. The first is that it is takfirun. Takfirun. لِلذُّنُوبِ, that it is an expiation for your sins. If a person is patient, that whatever trial and calamity that that person is going through, it will be a means for the expiation of their sins, meaning the removal of their sins, the wiping away of their sins because of this calamity that they were patient upon. And so perhaps a person is not able to reach, we'll come back to that. طيب. Example is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is not a calamity that befalls a Muslim, even the pricking of a thorn. You know the tree, the plant that has thorn that stings you, that harms you, that you go past accidentally and it stings your hand or your arm or your leg or the likes, and you feel some pain. Even to that extent, that little extent, there is takfirun, there is expiation for the sin, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that it becomes a reason for his sins to be removed. Like if that's just the pricking of a thorn and it removes your sins, what do you think about a person who lost a limb? What do you think a person that his house burnt down and he's patient upon it? What do you think about a person that lost their child? Lost their child. Even greater takfir, expiation for the sin, if a person is patient. And there are specific rewards for certain types of calamities that a person is patient upon. The calamity of a person drowning and dying upon that. Or a ta'un. Or dying in certain places, then he gets the reward of a martyr. The person who loses a child, then he gets a specific reward, a special reward on the Day of Judgment. And the likes of these, and the likes of that. Like the second benefit of the calamities that a person gets if he is patient is that it becomes sababun lirifati darajat, that it becomes a reason for a person's rank in Jannah being increased and being raised. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the calamities that befall us a reason for raising our rank in Jannah and a reason for expiating our sins. Perhaps a person, he is not able to perform many voluntary prayers or many voluntary fasts. That will enter him into a high place in Jannah. And so, badalan min dhalik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him with different types of calamities and trials. And he is patient upon that, patient upon that, patient upon that. And he gets reward, and he gets reward, and he gets reward. And so it increases his rank. And so it replaces those things that he couldn't do from performing righteous deeds. He gets the reward for it, for being patient here upon the trials and tribulation. And so that's two amazing benefits that a person should memorize and remember every time he goes through a calamity, every time he goes through a hardship. And know, i'lam, that every time you are patient upon a calamity and you are facing the pinnacle of that struggle, the hardest point in that struggle, and you feel like you almost can't do it anymore, then know, abshir, that an opening is near. That the faraj and the removal of that calamity is near. And iyyak, be aware that you should ever give up after being patient for so long. For indeed, you're like a person who's going through a tunnel and they can't see the other side, the exit of the tunnel. And they've reached the exit of the tunnel and they can see it. But then they gave up and then they walk back. You was at the end. You, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was about to remove that thing from you. But then you gave up. Iyak, be aware. Don't give up. Don't despair. Don't become annoyed. Don't give the shaytan a madkhal to lose all that reward. For indeed, the opposite of being patient in the time of calamity, the other way that you can respond to a calamity is what? Is being annoyed. Is being angry with the decree of Allah. Is asking questions. And in this form, لا للأجري حصلت ولا للمصيبة رفعت. The person who does that responds in this way, he doesn't get any reward, but he gets sin, and the calamity doesn't get removed from him. The calamity is still there. Yani if the calamity is gonna come and he's gonna be there either way, then why would you ever not want to be patient and get the reward? Because if you're not patient, it's not like the calamity is going to go away. It's still there, but you're just going to get sin for your response to that calamity. For your response to that calamity. And so being patient upon these three things is from the keys of success in a Muslim's life. That a person يستحضر هذه الأشياء, that he always brings to mind these three categories. Being patient upon performing good deeds and righteous deeds, being patient upon leaving of sin, being patient upon the calamities and the trials. And Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he wrote in the beginning of his book, Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, and I mentioned this a lot, Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, Ibn Qayyim, mentioned in his introduction, the three keys and the three recipes and the three ingredients and the three blueprints to success. And from those three is being patient. Being patient when you're tested. And then he mentions that point in detail. If you're able to understand Arabic, I would highly advise you to return back to it. And if you don't, then inshallah, make dua that someone translates this book in the English language, for it hasn't been translated yet. Patience, أيها الإخوة والأخوات, is something that we need in all our spheres of life, in every single form of it. Just like the water. Imagine life without water. When you have it in your life, it's something that is so basic, something that you don't need to mention all the time. It's always there for you, and it's so important. You need it for your food, to cook food, to drink, to clean yourself, to have shower, to clean your dirty clothes, to clean your dishes, to how many things do you need water for? Imagine life without water. Imagine one day water ran out and you went 3 days without water. How hard it would be. The same for life. The whole life that you're living, the 60, 70 years or more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more or less that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, the best way to live it is to have patience. And Ibn Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that he says something like this. Best way that we dealt with life is with patience. And patience, it comes into every single bab. We mentioned three categories, but there are things other than that you need to have patience in. You need to have sabr in all of your activities and your actions in life. Whether it is at-ta'allum wa ta'aleem, whether it is seeking knowledge or teaching, whether it is kasbur rizq, seeking your sustenance and your provision, going to work, you're going to need patience. You're going to need patience. You need patience if you're working in a customer service and one customer comes to you, he's good, and another customer comes to you and he's rude. You have to just be patient. It's your job. You're seeking assistance. Fi zawaj, in getting married, you need patience. Looking, being patient in being able to get married. Al hayat al zawjiyya, after you get married, al hayat al zawjiyya. After being married, you need to have patience in your marriage. Life is not a bed of roses, and likewise, marriage is not a bed of roses. There are times where you have ups and you have downs. Everyone has this, even in the time of the Sahaba. Even the Prophet ﷺ instances with his wives. And we learn from it, patience. So you have to have patience. You don't give up. And this is and I'll mention this here, that it is something that we need to point out. That today, many people, especially our youth, they get married, alhamdulillah, and Allah Azza wa Jalla makes it easy for them to get married, and the family helps out, and maybe the community helps out. And then 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, qaddar Allah ma sha'a fa'al, divorce, three times divorce, and khalas, they separate. Over, and if you go and you search, what was the reason? Was it something legitimate? You find that 8 times out of 10, something that was yani petty. So and so, they did this to me, and they don't forget. La al-hayat al-zawjiyya, that life of a married couple requires from you patience, requires from you taghaful, that you look the other way, that you sometimes that your partner steps over your toes, and you just have to look over it and forgive and forget. You can't hold grudges. You can't remember every single thing that was done against you. Ila akhirihi, they didn't do this, they promised this, they broke their promise, madri ash, and then it builds up. You have to have patience. You can't live a life of being married without being patient. And ask anyone that's old in age, that's been married for 50 years, this is the key and the real, yani, the success of every marriage. It's being patient, overlooking, being merciful, not taking your spouse to account over every single mistake that you think they made. And so the life of a married couple requires patience. Being patient in the harm of the people when you mix with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the one that mixes with the people, he mixes with society, he comes out He works in a school place. He doesn't isolate himself at home or in a mountain like the monks used to do. He doesn't isolate himself from the people, the one that mixes with them. And then he's patient upon the harm that he may receive from mixing with the people is better in reward than the one who does not mix with the people. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. The one that mixes with the people and is patient with their harm is better in reward than the one who doesn't mix with the people. And so he's not patient with the harm of the people. And so all of these things, and other than that, from the affairs, a person has to be patient in. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us patience. To finish off with, the only time when patience doesn't help, doesn't benefit you, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, not you, a person, let's say. Only time patience doesn't benefit a person and help them is if they become from the people of the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. هذا دار الجزاء. That is a abode of reward. You're only getting what you reaped. You only reap what you sow, sorry. You only reap what you sow. And so you only get the reward for what you used to do. And as for the dunya, it is darul amal. It is the abode of action. And so you act before you go to the abode of no action, where you just get the reward. You just get your reckoning and the thing that you put forward. And so the person who didn't put forward any tawheed, he didn't put forward ikhlas, he didn't put forward worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and he becomes from the people of the hellfire, may Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from that, then patience will not help him on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about them, إِصْلَوْهَا فَاصْبِرُوا أَوْ لَا تَصْبِرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Enter and taste the fire. Then whether you are patient, be patient, إِصْبِرُوا أو لا تصبروا. So whether you are patient or you are not patient, it is all the same for you. إنما تجزون ما كنتم تعملون. You are only being recompensed for what you used to do. You are only being given what you put forth. And so may Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from that. We need patience in darul amal, in the abode of action, and that's the dunya. We don't need patience in the akhirah. And so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have benefited from this small talk, and ask of you to all forgive me for any shortcoming or for any mistakes or slip of the tongue that I might have mentioned in the talk. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us. We ask Allah azza wa jal to grant us and to provide us with patience in all of our activities and all of our actions and all forms of life, and specifically in those three categories that we mentioned. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and forgive our parents and forgive our siblings and our loved ones. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us die upon Tawheed and to make our last words La ilaha illallah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to resurrect us with the Nabiyeen wa Siddiqeen wa Shuhada'i wa Salihin, to resurrect us with the prophets and with the truthful ones and with the martyrs and with the righteous ones. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make Jannat al-Firdaws al-Ma'wa, Jannat al-Firdaws our Ma'wa, our final abode, and to allow us to enter it without ever having to go through the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings and to forgive us for our transgressions and to allow us to make tawbah to him and istighfar before we die. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to
give us tawfiq in all of our affairs. Subhanakallah, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.